I'm not judging, but. And when we get there, you know, most of the time the next sentence is going to be, we're going to be judging somebody. And I don't have the authority to judge nobody, and neither do you. All judgment's in the hands of our Father, and he is the true and ultimate judge tonight. Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Romans chapter number 2 and verse number 1, and the Bible says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Father, I thank you for this night that you've given us to come to your house and study a portion of your word tonight. Father, tonight we know that you are the judge, and we do know that tonight. And Father, I pray tonight, Father God, for every word that would come out of my mouth tonight, let it be all about you. Father, I pray tonight that you be glorified and you be elevated tonight in a mighty way. Lord, I pray when we walk out of this place tonight, we'll have a better understanding of who you are tonight. We'd have a better understanding of who Jesus is tonight. And we'd have a better understanding of the Holy Spirit when we walk out of this place tonight, Father. Lord God, we've got one person to please in this world that we live in, and that's you. Father, you and you alone tonight, Father. We just need to line up with you tonight. I do in my life. Lord God, I pray tonight that I be not found judging another man. But Father God, I judge myself first, Father God, as I read the Word of God. The Word of God says tonight, Father God, that we must judge ourselves. And I pray tonight, Father God, you watch over us tonight. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let it be all about you and not one thing about me. Lord, I pray tonight for the Canterbury family. Father God, I pray tonight for their family in a mighty way. I pray tomorrow as they lay Brother Junior down. Father, I pray you give them peace, you give them rest, and you give them comfort in their life. Lord, I'd pray right now for COVID, Father. I'd pray for the ones that has it tonight. Lord, I would ask you tonight to guard their body tonight. Lord, I'd pray tonight, Father, that you just deliver them from such a disease tonight, Father. And we'd look for you to you for leadership and guidance. Father, I love you and I thank you for this church. I thank you for Jesus Christ. I ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Just go back, and we're going to just go back, and this morning we got on what kind of judge we would be, and we didn't get on what kind of judge God is. We stopped on what kind of judge you and I would be. As we come here, and I said this morning in Romans 1, Apostle Paul said that he was ready to preach the gospel to those that were at Rome, and he was ready to preach that word. And then we come on over, and he said not only was he ready to preach the gospel, but he revealed some sin that was in people's life. And he went through there, and he revealed the sin of homosexuality, and he come on down through the book, and we see where he said. But then we get to chapter number 2, and we stop there, and he said, who are we to judge another man? Who are we to judge another individual? And as we got there, I talked this morning about there'd be two kind of judges that we find in this text tonight. And what the first judge is, it'd be you and I. We would be a judge, and we would judge people. And I said this morning as we read the text, he said, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. I said this morning, as I believe the Word of God teaches us, that you and I would be a cruel judge. We wouldn't be a judge that would be right, and we wouldn't be fair in what we would judge, and we surely wouldn't be justice in what we judge, because we've seen this morning in the text and in the Bible that you and I, we would judge on appearance. How a man or a woman look, we would judge on their appearance first off. And I told you, you can't judge a book by its cover. Amen? And I said this morning, and I'll never forget when we was in seminary school, they said, don't you ever buy a book by the cover. You always buy it by the author. Never buy it by the cover, because once you get into that and that cover sounds like it would entice you and pour you in, you'll start believing stuff that you don't even really believe, and they'll twist the Word of God. But as we see, not only we judge on appearance, but if I was a judge, I would judge on hearsay. Well, I heard this about so-and-so and really don't know if it be true or not, but I would spread that gossip. I'd be judging that person. And then we said that We'd be a cruel judge because we'd judge others and not ourselves. We'd judge another man or another woman, and we'd never judge ourselves. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." But you know, in the world we live in, I never see another man judge himself very often. He'll judge another man, but he won't judge himself. Hey, but tonight as we get here, we've looked at the cruel judge. And tonight I want to look at what kind of judge God is tonight. What kind of judge he is tonight. And if you're sitting there, you may think that he's a judge that is sitting on his throne tonight. And he's just condemning everybody that's not doing what's right straight to a devil's hell. Hey, but that's not the God we serve tonight. Can I get an amen? Hey, tonight, that's not the God we serve. He says here that he's long-suffering. He has forbearance, and he's goodness tonight. And I want to look at that tonight, is what kind of judge he is tonight and what kind of judge you and I have in our life. And let's look in verse number 2, is what kind of judge that God is. Number 1, he is the correct judge tonight. He is the correct judge. Look what he says in verse number 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God, there it is. But we are sure that the judgment of God, look at this, is according to truth against them which commit such things. Tonight we see that he is the correct judge, and we can have confidence in knowing that he is the correct judge. Paul said here in verse number 2, but we are sure. He said we are sure in the judgment that God judges. He's correct in what he judges. Hey, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that we live in, and we see this when they go to court, they'll say, well, that judge ain't fair. He ain't fair in what he does. I didn't get a fair trial, and I wasn't treated fairly. Can I say to you tonight that we don't serve a fair God? There's not nothing about him fair. He is a just God tonight. I've said it many times in my life. If we served a fair God, everybody in this room would end up in a devil's hell. Hey, but tonight we don't serve a fair God. We serve a just God tonight. He come to justify us by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he says tonight that he is the correct judge, and we can have confidence in that judge tonight. We're confident about the judgment of God tonight. Tonight, when we stand before God on the day, and when we stand before him on judgment day, I want you to know, you will not go to heaven to see. When you stand before, let me back up, before you stand before him on the judgment day and you die and you leave this walk, you won't wait then to see if you're going to go to heaven or if you're going to go to hell. You'll determine that when you leave this walk of life. You'll either have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life or you'll die and go to a devil's hell. I've heard it taught and I've heard people preach, when they get to heaven, that God's either going to say depart from me or judge them or move them or do whatever. Friends, I want you to know, when you die from this walk of life, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to see if you made it. Can I get an amen? Hey, you can know here that you're a child of God and you've been washed in the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a judge that's correct in what he does. Look what he says here. Not only is he correct, we have confidence about the judgment, but it's according to truth tonight. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we're judged on the truth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. That judgment that he does is according to truth. He don't judge us on false things. He judges us on the truth of the Word of God tonight. And he says tonight, it's according to truth. He is pure and he is truth tonight. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about tonight? That we serve a judge that is correct tonight. He is correct in everything he does. We must appear before him one day, and there's a time that's appointed that we all will stand before God and God alone. I heard a story told one time, and it's so good. Said there was a young man in the town. We're talking about a correct judge, and that judge will do what's right and he won't do what's wrong. And there was a lawyer there, and he was up and down the streets, and he met a young man that was strung out and living any way that he wanted to. And every time he'd get locked up, he'd call that lawyer and he'd ask that lawyer, he'd say, hey, can you come get me out of jail? Hey, can you come help me? And you know what that lawyer would do? He'd always go. He had a heart for that young man. He had a heart for him, and he'd go to him. And he'd go right to where he was, and he'd bond him out, and he'd get him out of jail. And one time he got locked up, and he couldn't get a hold of that lawyer no more. And when he called him up, he said, hey, I can't get you, I can't get you. Kept left in a voicemail. And one day he was walking down the street, and he got out of jail, and he had a judgment coming up against him, and he's going to have to go to court. And he seen that lawyer on the street, and he said, hey, man, where you been? I've been looking for you. I've been looking for you. And he said, well, I'm no longer a lawyer, but now I'm a judge. And he said, okay, can you help me? He said, I can't help you no longer. He said, I'm a judge. He said he went to that judgment seat. He went to where he was at. And when he walked in by himself. And when he walked in, the lawyer that was always on his side was no longer there. But he was the judge that stood before him then. Friends, I want you to know right now, Jesus Christ, he is your lawyer and he's my lawyer. And he's wanting every one of us to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you don't make him your Lord and Savior on this side, on this side of eternity, there's going to come a day you're going to stand there and he won't be your lawyer over there. If you're lost, he'll be your judge. He'll be the one that'll do the sentencing and he'll be the judge. You're going to be judged on what you've done with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When that young man, he had a chance with that lawyer, but when he got on the other side and he seen that judge sitting there, you know what he did? He had no chance. No longer was he the lawyer, but he was the judge. Hey, but can I say to you, for the one that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ will be your lawyer when you get over there. He'll be your advocate when you get over there. He's the one that's going to have you the opportunity to enter into heaven. Man, I don't know about you, but that sets a fire in me. There's no way I can stand before God and justify anything in my life. When I stand before God one day, it won't be on what I've done, but it'll be on the work of the cross of Calvary and what Jesus has done in my life, that the blood had been applied. We have a correct judge, and when he judges us correctly. Amen. If the blood's been applied. You said, preacher, do you have scripture to back that up? Man, I want to show you that there's a time that we're going to appear and there's an appointed time that we will appear before him. There's a time coming. And I want you to know when that time comes, you're going to stand before that correct judge. That judge is going to be correct. There's not going to be one thing in your life that he's going to get wrong. When you stand there, he's going to know it. Guess what? God's a know-it-all. Amen. He's a know-it-all, just like the Holy Ghost. He ain't nothing but a nitpicker. He nitpicks you to death. He wants you to get right in your life and do things the right way. But let me show you in the Word of God. He says, number one, when we look here, that we stand before that correct judge according to the truth. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10. I told you that there's a time that that correct judge that we're going to have to appear before him. And look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10. There's going to be a time that you and I will appear before God. Look what the Bible says. He says, for we must all, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all be appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Friends, I want you to know when you appear here, you won't be appearing to be saved, but you're going to be judged on the works that you've done and where you're at in your life. Friends, I want you to know when you stand before this judgment seat of Christ, when we get to this place, look what he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to skip out of it. We're going to appear before him. One day, I ask you tonight, are you ready if that day was to come today? To appear before God. Look what he says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. He said there's a correct judge there waiting on you and he's waiting on me as we stand before that judgment seat of Christ. He says tonight that we must all appear. And when you stand before him, what are you going to give him? What are you going to tell him? What's going to be your answer? What is he going to judge on? For the saved man, you know what he's going to judge on when you stand before him, before the judgment seat of Christ? You know what you're going to get when you stand there and you stand before him? Only that the blood's been applied. Friend, when that blood's been applied to your life, God's going to look at that blood. Let me show you this. In Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 31. I want to show you this. As we stand before that mercy seat and we stand before where Christ is and we stand there at that great white throne is where that lost man's going to stand. He's going to stand there one day. A saved man won't stand at the great white throne. At that judgment, we won't stand there. We will be standing at the judgment seat where the blood's been applied, mercy and grace. He appointed a day. Look at this in Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 31. He said, not only must we appear, but there's been a day appointed. Look what he says here in Acts 17, 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by what you've done and what I've done. Oh, no. He will judge the world on righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. My righteousness is only through Jesus Christ. My righteousness is only through Jesus Christ. When I stand before him, before the mercy seat of Christ, let me give you this. When I stand before him, only thing I got to offer him is the blood of Jesus Christ. My righteousness is as filthy rags. And I want you to know, when I start judging, we've been talking about judging, when I start judging another man, it just shows how filthy I really am. When I start judging another individual, it shows just how filthy I really am on the inside. Look what he says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. We have assurance tonight that when we get to heaven, we have an advocate there, and his name is Jesus Christ. We have somebody there that's going to petition for us when we get there. We got somebody there that's petitioning now for us, right now. But he says he is the correct judge in Romans chapter number 2. If you look there, he is the correct judge. He says that we're going to be judged by that, what we've done with Christ Jesus. But I want to give you this. We talked this morning about being judgmental and judging people. Number one, we have a correct judge. Number two, we have a considerate judge. We have a considerate judge. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 3 and 4. And thinkest this, O man, that judgest them which do such thing and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God is what leadeth thee to repentance? I said he's correct in what he does, but also he's considerate in what he does. He is considerate in what he does. I want to show you three places in the Word of God where he is considerate in what he does. In the world we live in, we understand that people are living any way they want to live. And we know that the judgment of God is coming one day on this world, on this of what we live in right now. The judgment of God's coming one day. But did you know that he's long-suffering? He's in the authority right now to wipe us, slap off the map, the world that we live in. But that's not the God we serve right now. There's going to come a day, but right now, you know what he's done? He is long-suffering. He's wanting us to repent, get our life right where it needs to be. He's wanting us to be saved. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, if you'll turn with me there. Not only, look here, he is a good judge. He is a considerate judge because he is a good judge. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. If you'll turn with me there tonight. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9. I want to show you this in the Word of God tonight. He is that good judge, and he is considerate in what he does. Look what he says in 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack. He's not slack. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he is long-suffering toward us. Long-suffering. For 27 years, I lived the way I wanted to live. He was long-suffering. For 27 years, I lived the way I wanted to live. Any time in between them 27 years, he could have took me out, and I'd have ended up in a devil's hell. But he's long-suffering. He's long-suffering. Look what he says tonight. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should what? Should perish. There's not a person he wants to see in the devil's hell. It wasn't made for you, and it sure wasn't made for me. Folks, tonight he says he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all, look what he says, but that all, that's everybody, but that all should come to repentance. When you come to that place in your life, and I come to that place in my life of repentance, you know what that is? That's a turn. That's when I turn. I'm no longer going the same way that I used to. I realize that I've sinned against God, and I've messed up. I've messed up, and in my own righteousness, it cannot be fixed, and I need God, and I need God alone, and I need him in my life, and I make him Lord of my life. This morning, Adrian Rogers said something that this is so good. I told it in Sunday school. He said, I want you to know, Jesus Christ, a lot of people wants to make him Savior. He will not be your Savior if he's not your Lord. Adrian Rogers said, he cannot be your Savior if he's not your Lord. He won't just come in and be Savior if he can't be Lord. And he backed it up with scriptures in Romans chapter number 10. And when he got down to that, he started talking about a lot of people wants him to be the Savior, but not be the Lord. And you know what a Lord does? A Lord rules over your life. He reigns over your life. At the end of the day, he starts being your shot caller. You say, what now? What are you talking about, preacher? Look what he says here. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The Lord. I ask you tonight, is he your Savior or is he your Lord? Well, that's pretty deep. And I don't go deep. I ain't a deep preacher, but I do know this. And when he said that this morning, it keyed something to me in my mind when I was talking about judging others. When I made him Lord of my life, I said, Lord God, I can't keep running. I need you to be my Lord. At that moment, he became the Lord of my life. And when he became the Lord of my life, he became my Savior. He became what I needed in my life. As I've been studying the Word of God, and I understand not to judge others because I'd be a cruel judge. Man, I'd be cruel. You take somebody that's harmed an elderly person or a child, if I was the judge, I'd give them a pretty hard sentence. See a lot of head shaking. If I seen somebody, I would judge them that way. But you know what God does? He's long-suffering. He's wanting them to come to repentance in their life. The most evilest crime, whatever evil you think it is, God died for him too. God died for every individual in this world. He said he is long-suffering, that all should come to repentance. He said not only is he a correct judge, but he's considerate in what he does. I want to show you a second place where he's considerate in what he does. Number one, he does that in our life. He gives us opportunities. He gives us opportunities all the way along the life's way. If I went around this room tonight and asked you how old you was when you got saved, I know Mama would say 70. I'd say you've been long-suffering. For 70 years, been long-suffering to Mama. Mama got saved a couple weeks ago, long-suffering. But you think about how good he's been to us. He said, you know not it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance? And a lot of times, once we get saved and we start living the Christian life, here's what we say, I can't believe they're doing that. And most of the time, we're doing the same thing they're doing. We forget about the goodness of God. How he snatched us out of that life that we was in and has got us over here now. Preacher, what do I do about the person still living in that life? You love them. You love them. It's hard to love them, but you love them. Why? Because Christ died for them and he died for you and I. And we should love them. Let me show you this in the second thing. If you'll look with me to Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 25. Romans 3, 25. Not only is he a good judge, but he's a holding back judge. He holds back on his judgment. He holds back on what he's doing. And that word forbearance shows us that. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 25, if you'll turn with me there. He says this in Romans 3, 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. It's the blood that makes the difference. Look what he says. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Look at this. Not only is he a good judge, but he's a holding back judge. He is considerate in what he does. He's considerate. He gives us ample opportunities to repent. He gives us ample opportunities to be restored, to be renewed, to put back in fellowship. I want you to know tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your family's going through. I don't know, but I can say this tonight, just keep praying for them. God's long-suffering, and he has a plan in their life, and he has a plan in your life. And when we line up with the plan that God has for us tonight, we see just what kind of judge he is. He's not cruel, but he's correct in what he does. He says he's a good judge. He's a holding back judge. But look at this. He says in Romans chapter number 2, as we turn back to it, he is a long-suffering judge. He's long-suffering. Man, I suffer just a little while and I'm out. I pray for something, a couple months, it ain't come through, I'm out. Right? I pray for a man and it ain't getting what I want, I'm out. He ain't gonna change, she ain't gonna change. What have I done become? I done become judge. I done become judge over that man or that woman. I've done judged. Well, what I should be doing is saying, Lord God, you're the one in the saving business. Will you please show them long-suffering? Will you please show them goodness? Will you please have forbearance toward them that they come to repentance in their life? Folks, I want you to know tonight there's not a person I know that I'd like to see in hell. I want to see every one of them in heaven. Just saying. What he says, and we're going to close up. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Holds back. This is what that long-suffering would be. He'll hold back until repentance. That judgment, he'll hold it back until repentance or until there's no hope for repentance. Until there's no hope for repentance. When a man draws his last breath here, if he's not asked Jesus Christ into his life and become his personal Lord and Savior, when he draws his last breath here, it'll be too late to do it over there. He says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's going to happen in our lives. It's going to happen on this side or it's going to happen over there. If it happens over here, you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You ask him to come into your life and be Lord of your life. Praise God. If it happens over there, I told you he's correct. He's gave us ample opportunities. He's gave us plenty of opportunities to call on the name of the Lord. I believe that his Spirit will draw every man, woman, boy, or girl at a time in their life. I believe that. The Bible says, for whosoever will, let him come. Folks, tonight I want you to know that when we get to this place in our life, we must not never judge a person and say they're too far gone. That they're too far gone. There is no hope, preacher. They're too far gone. I want you to know if there's breath in them lungs, there's hope for that individual. If there's breath in them lungs, there's hope for that individual. But you know who it is that thinks there is no hope? That individual that's in that shape. I'm going to tell about tomorrow at that funeral about Brother Canterbury. When we was, the day that he asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of his life, it was hot. It was in September and it was hot. He had an old Ford truck there at his house, and I laid the old King James Bible out on the hood of the truck, and we got to reading the Word of God. And he said, is it that simple? Just to ask him into my life. Is it that simple? I said, by faith, yes. When you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, the Spirit's drawing you, yes, it's that simple. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To believe that he was buried and he rose again. Believe that he is the way, the truth. Believe. And he went into the way he had behaved in the past. I said, he never called you to behave. He called you to believe. He didn't call you to behave. Now, church people, me, okay, there's my judgmental state coming in. There's my judgmental state. I want people to behave when they come to church. And then maybe they'll believe. If they come to church and they believe, they'll start behaving for long. The behaving will come. And folks, I want you to know tonight, I don't know exactly his age, but I know this. God was long-suffering toward him. He had forbearance, and he was good to him. I'll never forget that day when he called on the Lord there. He bowed that head. Brother Keith, I ain't never backed up on this, not one skinny minute in my whole entire life. I tell a man, the way I live my life won't lead nobody to Jesus. If it would, why Jesus die on the cross? The way I live my life is going to lead him to Jesus. It ain't going to do it. It ain't going to save him. What's going to save them is the blood. Pointing them to the gospel, pointing them to the cross. That's what's going to save them. There's never been a time where a man's bowed his head with faith, believing, the Spirit drawing, and he asked the Lord to come in his life that the Lord would turn him down. Won't do it. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's that judge that is correct and he's considerate. He won't push in over you. He won't overtake you and push over and make you. But he'll give you away. I'll never forget that day. It was hot. He had snot hanging out of his nose that long. I'm not lying. Under conviction, tears flowing, asking God to save his soul. He said, preacher, is that going to be a rough funeral tomorrow? It's going to be a cakewalk. Why? The job's done. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you looked at my life and you look at people's life, when they die, you say, I don't know if he made it. I don't know. To anybody, you say that. You become a judge and you don't have the authority. You walk up to that casket and that individual's laying there and you say, I tell you one thing, if she or he didn't make it to heaven, none of us are. Oh, how sad that is. How sad that is. Tonight, there's one judge and that's Jesus Christ, God Almighty. He's our judge. And he's the ones one day going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Tonight I want you to know you're in the hands of a just God. He's just in what he does. And he is the correct and considerate judge in exactly what he does. Father, I love you and I thank you. I praise your holy name tonight. Father God, I thank you tonight that you're that judge in our life. Lord, when we look to you, Father God, we find assurance tonight in what you do in our life. Lord God, we can be assured tonight that there'll come a day that we'll stand before you. And Lord God, tonight we'll give an account for the things we've done. And Lord God, we'll give an account for what we've done with your son Jesus. The Bible said there was a time that you winked at sin, but now you command men everywhere to repent. Lord God, no longer will you wink. Father God, you're serious. Father, you're that judge that's going to judge us one day. Father, I pray right now for every man and woman in this room, boy and girl. I pray as we go out this week in the world we live in, Father, that we have not a judgmental spirit, but Father, we have a spirit of love, kindness, joy, and peace. Lord, I pray if we run into somebody that's lost that we can just share the plan of salvation. Lord God, let them know that there is a better way. Lord, tonight, watch over this church and each every individual. Have your will and way in our life. We'll be careful to give you the honor, the praise, the glory you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. Amen. Amen.